minutes until the top of the hour. Let's go straight back to the phone lines. And Jennifer is joining us on line one. Jennifer, top of the day to you.
Hi, Bruce. Nice to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm fine, but I'm a little angry right now.
Okay.
After the discussion with Suzanne's mother.
Yes.
The thing is, as a rape victim, I can tell you that the rapist is always protected by the men around them. I don't really quite understand that, but they always do protect each other. It's a very sad situation. And you know, that girl, I don't know if she's aware of it or not, but she has many reasons to have PTSD.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
You don't have to be in a war zone to have PTSD. You can get it from being raped. And, of course, you know, I heard her mother say she snaps at people. Well, of course she does. You know, she's a raw nerve right now.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all of that, she has no idea what they're going to do to her neck. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. It is probably this story. When I first ran across this, Jennifer, I read it and I broke down. I just could not believe what I was reading. It seemed to be so tragic that it couldn't be real. You know,
I don't know that this girl had any choice but to go AWOL, because I know when I was raped, and the police asked me to identify the guy, and I had to be in his presence, I shook and trembled so bad that they had to hold me up.
I'm sure.
I mean, I just disintegrated looking at his photograph. It was just terrible. I mean, it's that frightening. So I don't think she had any choice but to get away.
Yeah.
And I don't think she should be punished for that.
I don't think she should either. And as a matter of fact, I think they need to discharge her immediately and let her go get the help that she needs to deal with this, so that so that the rest of her life, you know, isn't colored by this one incident. You know, this one situation. Because this happened over the course of a couple of years.
She's got more guts than I have, let me tell you. I'm amazed at her, and I agree with you. I think it behooves the United States military to make sure this girl gets what she needs now and stop tormenting her. You know, they do need to give her an honorable discharge. They do need to get her treatment. And they do need to just leave her alone and let her heal. With proper treatment, she can heal. I know that, too. But she'll never be the same.
No. And what I'm going to say now, what I'll do is, when I'm over on my break on the top of the hour, I'll put on my website, brucebirch.com, the show post for today, I'll put a link to the petition.
Yeah.
So that anyone who wants to go sign that, Ms. Rich, Sarah Rich, just said she was going to take that to Donald Dumsfeld's office. he's such a moron. She's going to take this to his office when she's at Camp Democracy later in the month. So, load the signatures up. I mean, you know, blast this out to everyone that you know and get them to go read this story. We need to get this woman out of the military.
Yep.
And not only that, but we need to create an environment so that other women who are experiencing this feel free enough to be able to tell the truth about what's going on and what's happening.
Exactly. You know, this guy thing that goes on with protecting each other from, because, of course, their consequences would be very serious if they were not protected. And so, you know, guys do that, and I'll never understand why. And, boy, be a good victim. Don't be a victim or you'll get nowhere.
Jennifer, I'm a guy, and I don't understand it either.
Well, I'm not going to put it on all guys. I know there are guys in this world who would not go along with this kind of stuff. But the majority of them will and do. And it's very, very cruel. Very cruel.
It is. Absolutely.
So I've already signed her petition, And I'm going to try to get as many signatures as I can on it, and I appreciate you posting it. And don't forget to plug my poetry column.
Your poetry column at Powers and Morrison, right?
Yes.
What is it with you, Powers? No, I'm just playing.
We love you, baby.
I know you do. And we love you, too.
She's wonderful.
I was just being silly. But no, but absolutely. And you're okay, what is the name of your poetry column over at powersandmorrison.com?
It's just political poetry.
It's
political poetry? You want the whole cotton picking thing? It's just on the main page, on the very bottom, Political Poetry by Jennifer Safir.
Okay. Political Poetry by Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
I will plug that again, because we need more political poetry. Absolutely.
I think so. When I get good and angry, I can usually write a hot one.
There you go.
So,
well, thanks for joining me this
afternoon.
Talking
to you and have a wonderful day.
Yeah.
And thanks for
all you. You too.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye now. And that's our good friend Jennifer calling in. Let's see, where was she from? It didn't say. Well, new caller. Now, all right, so let's see. We're about almost right up at the top of the hour. When we come back, we will have David Swanson on from Camp Democracy, hopefully from a live on location today. This is day two of Camp Democracy, and hopefully we'll have him on live with us right after the top of the hour. If you want to get in on the show today, please do. I'd love to hear from you. The number's 877-443-2366. This is the Bruce Birch radio program. Thanks for joining me. I'll be right back after the top of the hour.
This is the Quality News Network. For the first time, President Bush has admitted the CIA runs secret prisons overseas. 14 high-profile prisoners will be moved from those clandestine prisons to Guantanamo Bay. The White House previously denied knowledge of the secret prisons and CIA kidnappings, outraging European governments where most of the spy agency's activities took place. President Bush also agreed to treat most prisoners of the U.S. military humanely as required under the Geneva Convention. The announcement today follows a Supreme Court ruling, the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal, and international criticism of U.S. treatment and imprisonment of uncharged captives in Guantanamo Bay. In Iraq, two bombs exploded today during rush hour, killing at least 9 civilians and wounding as many as 4 dozen. Another 19 bodies were discovered overnight throughout the capital, all of them showing signs of torture. Near Mosul today, 6 border police were killed by a suicide car bomber. 6 others were wounded. 58% of Americans oppose the war in Iraq, according to the latest CNN poll. 62% of those surveyed think no one is winning. In Afghanistan, 3 British soldiers died today, bringing to 19 the total of soldiers from the UK who have died there in the past 6 days. Israel says it will lift its air and sea embargo of Lebanon tomorrow. That embargo has been in place since the 34-day war between Israel and the Hezbollah. In Montana, firefighting helicopters took to the skies again today, having been grounded yesterday by heavy smoke. Wildfires, now in their 3rd week, have burned nearly 290 square miles and destroyed 26 homes. In Illinois, former Governor George Ryan has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for racketeering corruption. Ryan received national attention for commuting the sentences of all on death row before he left office. In Florida, the launch of the space shuttle Atlantis has been postponed again. NASA says it may try again Friday. The liftoff today was postponed because of an electrical problem. In Atlanta, the CDC said a record 100 million doses of flu vaccine will be available to Americans this year. Between 85 and 90% of those doses will be sold to the private sector. Scientists say global warming methane gas is being released by melting permafrost five times faster than previously thought. The researchers are calling the phenomena a climate time bomb. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
British Airways is reporting a $76 million loss from last month's terrorism scare. That's due largely to the cancellation of more than 1,200 flights, as well as hotels, catering, and baggage issues. Liquids, gels, and aerosols will continue to be banned from carry-on luggage on flights departing from the U.S. for the foreseeable future. That's according to the director of the Transportation Security Administration. Worker productivity in the U.S. rose 1.6% in the spring quarter, down from the previous growth rate, but slightly better than had been expected. Intel, the world's largest producer of microchips, announced layoffs of 10,500 workers, about 10% of its workforce. The cuts are expected to save the company $3 billion a year by 2008. Hewlett Packard has accused a board member of leaking to the media and has asked for his resignation. However, HP got that information from private investigators who obtained the board member's phone records. California's attorney general may investigate. Light sweet crude ended the day trading for $67.69 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold topped out at $641 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 63 points at 11,406. The Nasdaq was down 38 at 2167. The S&P 500 was down 13 points at 1300. You can find more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 6 minutes past the hour here in the eastern United States, and joining me is David Swanson. David is involved in one of the conveners of Camp Democracy that's going on right now in the nation's capital on the National Mall there. David, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Are you there on site right now?
I am, and as we speak, Congressman Jim McGovern is speaking to people here in a big tent at Camp Democracy. He's up on the stage, and this is the congressman, of course, who's the chief author of the bill that we support that would cut off all funding for the war, except as needed to safely bring the troops home.
Fantastic. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting up there tomorrow, David, and doing a live show there tomorrow and Friday, and it just, you know, it's I think what you guys have created here is the impetus for a movement that could really bring about some positive change. And tell me a little bit, you know, if you can, about what sort of brought this about, this whole the whole thing.
I hope you're right, and we should talk later, by the way, about some of the technical stuff about hooking up tomorrow. But this is the inspiration behind this camp is simply random people all over the country asking, when can we do something in Washington? When can we come and say enough's enough? We aren't going to take it anymore. And as you know, we started out with me asking Cindy Sheehan if she would move her camp up here from Crawford, Texas to D.C., and she said, of course I would, and that energized a lot of people. And in the end, we ended up bringing a lot of people up from Crawford and buses and banners and materials, but not Cindy, who for health reasons has canceled everything for the coming weeks and months. But lots of people are here, and yesterday we had military families and veterans leading the event here, and today a lot of the main speakers have been Congress members. Again, Jim McGovern is on the stage right now. Joel Siegel, who works on health care for John Conyers, was up before him. Congresswomen Lynn Woolsey and Barbara Lee and Maxine Waters have been here today. I may be forgetting some, and I've been in and out, but there's a lot going on, and it's a very festive atmosphere here in the sun after the rainstorms yesterday. There are tents and flags and banners and signs. There's a tent that some Buddhist monks have set up, and they are fasting here. They began yesterday.
Oh, that's great.
There's a giant inflatable George Bush with a Pinocchio nose in his flight suit that people can see from miles away. There are volunteers wearing giant Bush, Cheney, Rummy, Condi heads roving the area, handing out flyers to bewildered tourists, and it's a good time.
How many people are up there right now, Dave?
Not a big crowd. I mean, we've never gotten over, a few hundred. We want thousands, and we want tens of thousands. And mm-hmm. I think the weather's going to help us. We had more today than yesterday, and I think the weekend will help us. But we really need more people. We hear from so many people around the country, what a great thing you're doing. But we need them to come, and particularly if you're in the general area of the Mid-Atlantic or the D.C. area, come on down. And if you're in the D.C. area, go to campdemocracy.org and post that you can offer a room or a bed or a couch or a floor in the corner for someone to sleep, because that's what a lot of people coming from out of town need. But if you're coming from out of town, we will give you a free or cheap place to stay. There's no question.
Dave, could I ask you a favor? Is it possible that you could get over next to one of the speakers and let us listen to listen to him talk for a second?
Let me see what I can do. I see that Congressman McGovern has stepped down and is doing interviews with the media, and it looks to me like Tim Carpenter, the director of PDA, is on the stage. Now, here he comes down. Would you like to talk to Tim?
Oh, sure.
Want to go on the radio?
Sure.
This is Tim Carpenter, the executive director of Progressive Democrats of America, who's running the show here today, who just introduced Congressman Jim McGovern, who just stepped down and is talking to the cameras. Here's Tim.
Fantastic.
Hi, how you doing?
Tim, I'm doing great, Tim. This is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. I just wanted to say hi, and you guys are doing a wonderful, wonderful thing up there. And if you have a moment, could you tell me about some of the speakers you've had up there today?
Today was the day the PDA organized Progressive Democrats of America, PDAmerica.org, on your website.
Uh-huh.
Organized a day of Congress members and staffers from the Hill to share with us a progressive agenda. What would Congress look like, not only with the Democratic majority, but what would it look like with the progressive Democratic majority? Congresswoman Barbara Lee, the co-chair of the Progressive Caucus with Lynn Woolsey, spoke to us about what we could do with the billions of dollars that are being spent currently in Iraq, how we could redirect that money to meeting human needs. Congressman Jim McGovern just finished up with a standing ovation from the tent here and really brought down the House to talk about what it's going to take to really end this war, to cut off the funding. Gave a really inspired speech and spoke of his bill, House Resolution 4232, which we'll all be lobbying on in the 19th. Camp Democracy will take to the Hills to lobby on that. And finally, Congressman Conyers sent his chief legislative aide, Joel Siegel, who spoke to us about single-payer universal health care, which is House Resolution 676. What could we do with the money being wasted on the military budget and instead redirected towards meeting human needs and meeting the health care needs of Americans? So we're just wrapping up that day here, and it's been a very exciting day.
Well, Tim Carpenter, it's really glad to glad to have you on, and sort of as a fluke, I didn't plan it, but thanks for doing all you're doing up there and for supporting this wonderful effort at what a real democracy does when the people in power stop listening.
Well, thank you for all you're doing and help us get the word out, and I hope people that are listening will make time to come down to Camp Democracy. We're going to be here for another 2 weeks, and thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you. And let's see, David? David, are you back with us?
I'll swing you back over here to David.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, it's David.
All right. David, I'm here. I just wanted to, another question for you. What can people expect as far as now, if they're coming for a couple of days and what do they need to bring with them as far as, provisions? Do they need to bring bottled water? Do they need to bring food? What do they need to do?
We've had a pretty good supply of bottled water here, and we've had some food, but we can't commit to providing people with food. If people can bring their own or shop at the local stands around for food, that's best. But otherwise, people don't need to bring anything except themselves. And
okay. If
people have needs, we'll try to meet them. We just need people here to help. And thus far, everyone's been great. Everyone who's showed up has helped hang flags and banners and flyer and do all the jobs that are needed on the camp. So people seem to be coming wanting to be part of it and help, but you don't need to bring anything with you.
Okay. Are people allowed to actually stay there overnight or camp out?
No, you're not supposed to sleep here overnight. If the crowd gets really huge, I think we can do what we want, but we are finding places for people to stay, and we have rooms, and we have basements, and we have apartments. So if anyone comes, D.C. has enough homeless people already. We're not adding to it, but people want to come, we'll find them places to stay. And, in fact, you can go on the website, campdemocracy.org, and sign up for a room you want to stay in.
Okay. Now, just logistical stuff. What's the closest metro stop there?
That would be Federal Triangle Metro Stop, which is on the orange and blue metro lines.
So folks are coming in from out of town. They're staying out. Okay. So if they're staying out in the suburbs, whatever, they can when they get into town, they need to go head for the Federal Triangle Stop, orange and blue line. That's the closest one.
Yeah, that's right. There are lots of stops pretty close. We're right in the middle of everything, but that's very close, Federal Triangle.
Okay. Excellent. Fantastic, David, and I really look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Now, what I probably will do is try to get up with you a little bit later on this evening. I'll give you a call. It'll be after 10 because I'm covering for Bob again tonight. But we'll get together and see what we can do about or if I need to call you immediately, then I'll do that. But we'll get together about logistics and all that good stuff.
Yeah, sounds great. I'll be up late. Call whenever works.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. And well done. Well done. It's off to a rollicking good start. And looking forward to getting up there, man. Good on you.
Thanks for the help.
All right. See you tomorrow. And thanks for joining us today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That's our friend David Swanson, who is one of the conveners of Camp Democracy, which is occupying the National Mall right now. Fantastic. Great stuff. It's about 16 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Burch Radio Program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take your phone calls. You know what the number is, 1-877-443-2366. Get in on the show today. Love to hear from you. This is Bruce Burch. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
Everywhere is freaks and heroes, dykes and fairies. Tell me where is sanity? Mm-hmm.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to NAJA.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Head on with Bob Kincaid. Let's go back to the phones, and we are joined by Beauregard T. Clampett, I'm told, on line one.
Hello there, Bob.
Well, Mr. Clampett, how are you, sir?
It's fine, sir. You have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on this subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
Son, you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
We won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good. Good man underground.
Head on.
Your heart swells, doesn't it, when you really get a chance to make a difference, to save this nation from the criminals who are trying to destroy it. You know we have a chance when we stand together. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I've said for a long time that we need a sustained presence in Washington, D.C. to let the Bush crooks know that we're not going away. What they can ignore for a day, they can't ignore for a week. That moment has come. Join together on the Mall in Washington, D.C. as Camp Democracy sets up and steps in for the long haul. Stay a day, stay a week. If you can't come, help those who can. Go to campdemocracy.org to find out more. We can end the war. We can, if only we will. Campdemocracy.org. This is what real patriotism feels like.
Political conventions, talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mine. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 21 minutes past the hour. As I mentioned yesterday, David Rovics, whose song that you just heard, and also he is also the artist that does my closing song, which is called After the Revolution. You can download both of those songs for free by going to davidrovics.com. It's Rovics, davidrovics.com. And, you know, he just released a new CD yesterday called Halliburton Boardroom Massacre. And I would challenge you, if you live in a larger city, now I'm not so sure that, you know, it's going to make it out to every single record store. I hope it does, but it may not. If you live in a larger city and you want to support a progressive singer-songwriter, this guy's good, and he's got a great spirit, and you know, just a wonderful guy. Go out and check out that album by going out to the record stores and picking that up. Halliburton Boardroom Massacre by David Rovics. And if your record store doesn't carry it, tell them, by cracky, they need to get on the stick and get it in there, because because you have a demand. You want you want to hear it. You want it, and you know what? Bottom line is that most record companies, stores, etc., will send you what you want. because you know, they are about the bottom dollar, right? That's right. Okay, let's see. Do we have anybody in the queue right now? Doesn't appear we do. So let's go back over to, let's see. Gosh, we've covered a lot of ground today, an incredible lot of ground today. You know, here's a story from the annals, not the anals, the annals of Republican chicanery. George Ryan, the former governor of Illinois, has been sentenced to 6.5 years for his conviction on federal racketeering charges today. Ryan, a Republican, was noted for his strong opposition to capital punishment, except in the most heinous of cases. He had one saving grace, I suppose that would be it. In 2000, much to the chagrin of his supporters, Ryan issued a moratorium on all executions in the state. He said, quote, "We have now freed more people than we have put to death under our system. 13 people have been exonerated and then 12 have been put to death. There is a flaw in the system without question, and it needs to be studied," he said at the time. He opted out of a reelection run in 2002. The following year, he was indicted on 18 counts of racketeering, conspiracy, and fraud. The charges stemmed from actions Ryan took as Illinois Secretary of State. He was convicted of selling government licenses illegally and the awarding of improper contracts and leases. And the list goes on and on and on. Well, it's a good thing that he issued a moratorium on the death penalty. That's probably, you know, maybe he was feeling bad for doing all the illegal stuff, and so he decided that he needed to atone for his sins. Oh, that's right. Today is prayer meeting, isn't it? Anyway, he needed to atone for his sins by exonerating some folks who, either did or did not commit murder. The Army, or let's see, no. Sliding backwards. Catherine Harris, the nutbag in Florida, who said that she believes that God elects leaders. God appoints them. God selects them, she says. Don't make God mad. Apparently, she believes that God's going to select her. She has overcome a campaign ridiculed even by her own party to easily claim the GOP nomination for the Senate in Florida. So she will be going up against incumbent Senator Bill Nelson, who had no primary challenger. She said yesterday, "Tonight is a great victory for our party and for Florida. It's a great victory because it shows each of us we can overcome adversity to achieve extraordinary victories." This is the lady that the GOP, the greedy oil party, refused to support. She refused to support them, or they refused to support her. And what's happened is that they were scared that she was going to win, so they actually tried to recruit someone to run against her. And nobody did, and so now she's won the nomination. Don't think that Senate seat's going to be up for grabs very easily. But the fact that she's running for Senate is you know, she is another, she's like, what's that guy from Pennsylvania? Oh, golly, I can't remember his damn name now. This happens to me. If there's somebody I really dislike, I forget their name. The independent fundamentalist abortion guy from Pennsylvania, she's just like him, the senator there, who is also up for re-election this time around and is running against Bill Casey. Now, see, I remembered his the guy he's running against. I just didn't remember his name. Interesting story out of Insight magazine this afternoon, and that is that the GOP, the greedy oil party, came out and has admitted pretty much to giving Joe Lieberman, millions of dollars in campaign money. So I certainly hope that Ned Lamont is going to capitalize on this up in Connecticut and say and let those voters know up there the kind of money that is fueling Joe Lieberman. It is Republican money. Apparently, Karl Rove got on the phone, called some of the top GOP donors to the Republican Party, and said, "Send money to Joe Lieberman." send money to Joe Lieberman. So Lieberman has, you know, he's got millions of bucks. He's got big money to run a big campaign against Ned Lamont, who, by the way, beat Lieberman in the primary. So Lieberman's running as an independent Democrat, and Ned Lamont has the blessing of the party because, you know, in the primary, he won. And usually losers tend to accept their loss with humility and grace and let go and say, okay, well, maybe it's my time is done and it's time for to let new blood in. But not Joe Lieberman. Oh, no. He's got to continue to run. And, you know, it's just he needs to go home. He really needs to go home. Yes, thank you, Gene. That was Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania. Thank you. I just, you know, sometimes I forget those people because I really dislike them. All right, let's see. Any other? Yeah, let's do another story real quick, and then we'll go over to our bottom of the hour break. The other cool thing, of course, you know, we're talking about chicanery, right? We're talking about some of the chicanery and the right wing. Well, apparently. The FBI looks like that Tom DeLay's wife is under investigation for bribery. Okay, in the last few weeks, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, have been interviewing people at the Alexander Strategy Group lobbying firm to determine if Christine DeLay was being paid $3,200 a month, a total of $115,000 over 3 years, but not earning it. In a series of interviews last month, investigators questioned people who used to work there and also who worked in the same building. They wanted to know how often she came to the office. What did she do there? How long was she there? The strategy group was run by a pair of Tom DeLay's former aides, Tony Rudy, who has already pleaded guilty to bribery charges, and Edwin Buckham, who remains under investigation. They also shared clients with, that's right, none other than the king of lobbying, Jack Abramoff. In last month's interviews, investigators also asked about $144,000 that Mrs. DeLay received from one of Mr. DeLay's fundraising committees, the Americans for Republican Majority Political Action Committee, or ARMPAC, which was apparently housed at the lobbying firm's offices. Couldn't even afford, you know, they're paying out $144,000 a pop, but they couldn't afford their own office? Okay, yeah, something's wrong there, all right? Something's definitely, definitely wrong there. The lawyer for Mrs. DeLay said that she was a, quote, key advisor to her husband, and her employment at ARMPAC and Alexander Strategy was real and valuable, end quote. Yeah, real and valuable to who? To the golf trip in Scotland. Apparently, neither the disgraced and indicted Mr. DeLay nor his wife have been interviewed by the Justice Department. So, you know what? They need to be taken down. I think they really need to go to jail. I think they really need to go to jail. And once they go to jail, then the healing can begin. You listen to the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 31 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We'll do whatever we do right here on the program. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bruce Birch. I'll be right back.
Did you hear them talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Bush likes to view himself as the great liberator, and he's said many times that he's liberated 50 million people, all the people of Iraq and all the people of Afghanistan. But if this is liberation, it's no great shakes. Iraq's going to hell with 100 civilian deaths a day due to the civil war. Oh, I'm sorry, I mean the sectarian violence. And Afghanistan's right behind because of Rumsfeld. He didn't send enough troops to restore order in Afghanistan, as in Iraq. So the insurgency has picked up steam. The Taliban have claimed large swaths of the country and are now taking down U.S. and NATO soldiers at an increased pace. Meanwhile, opium production is through the roof, up 50% in the last year alone. Now Afghanistan supplies 92% of the world's opium supply. And for the women and girls of Afghanistan, life is little different than it was before. Violence against women is rampant, and the Taliban have been attacking teachers and schools that were trying to educate girls. As a result, only 35% of girls attend elementary or middle school, and only 10% go on from there. In five provinces, 90% of girls don't attend any school. But it's not just the Taliban that's doing the repressing. Bush's man, Hamid Karzai, has given his approval to the reinstitution of the Taliban's old Department for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. That department was notorious for beating women for wearing socks that weren't bland enough. Now it's coming back. Another Bush triumph. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
We walk like him.
This is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. On September 8th, the Head-On Radio Network will be broadcasting live from Camp Democracy, a citizens' encampment on the National Mall intended to bring together broad sections of our society to speak out against the abuses of the Bush administration and call for an end to the occupation of Iraq. Please join us for this very special broadcast from 5 until 10 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 7 Pacific on September the 8th. Better yet, come join us in person. The future of our democracy may well depend on our actions today. For more information, please visit campdemocracy.org.
God forgive our warring
back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 6:35 in this time zone at this time of the day. It's 35 minutes past the hour. If you're listening on Radio Power, it's actually 40 minutes past the hour right now. I'm really glad that we're on Radio Power. That's really cool and amazing. And thank you, Shelby, for allowing us to be on your network and letting other progressives hear the message. Let's go right over to our free speech phone lines. Let's go to Andrew, line one. Andrew, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing all right, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for calling.
At the top of the show, you were talking about what freedoms we would like to give up, you know,
yes,
in order to be safe against all this so-called terrorism that's going on. And, you know, of course, the proper response would be none. I mean, the Constitution is our safety. And without it, you know, there is no safety. If without the Constitution, you will not be able to say what you want to, you know, you wouldn't be able to foster your message against a tyrannical government, as which we have in the Bush administration. And to give up, to say you have to give up freedoms that are guaranteed by the Constitution is ludicrous. That's, you know, that's just, I mean, it's crazy. And, I mean, it's like, you were talking about how, like, you know, the terrorists, you know, like all this propaganda that they put out, and how some people believe that, you know, they believe this stuff. They believe this terrorist, all these terrorist scenarios and plots that they've been bringing up, you know, the London airline hijacking plot and those different things. But they believe it because it's on the media. The media is so complicit, and we all know this, and, you know, beating a dead horse, but it's the media. People don't seek out the truth, or they may not have the means to get the truth. And if you don't have a proper, legitimate, unbiased media, I mean, they're going to believe it. People are going to believe it. Well, that's all they get.
Yeah, and that's just it, is that people are being spoon-fed stuff that they're just, you know, it's couldn't be further from the truth, you know.
Yeah, and it's like...
That whole... This whole thing with path to 9/11 is an insult to every should be termed an insult to every thinking American.
Exactly, and this 9/11 just like this so-called fakeumentary or whatever they're coming out with, you know, mm-hmm. It's just, you know, people are going to believe that crap because they see it on TV. You know, yeah. They don't do any research. They can't do any research, and they have short-term memories, you know, and they're busy or whatever. But it's like if they don't see it on TV, it never happens. The old saying. And that's our problem, and our media has totally let us down. But as far as giving up any freedom, no, never. You can't do that, because once you do that, then you allow the Bush administration to do whatever they want to you, and they can terrorize you, and they can pass laws that, you know, just usurp your freedoms even more. And you gave them their permission. You gave them the permission to do it. You know, you give up your freedoms. Hey, I mean, whatever. It's done. Game over. And
I can't help but think that they have done that. You know, by our inaction. And that's not even really, you know, I don't want to blame us for the Patriot Act, because that was, you know, those of us who are out here in the streets, you know, it happened so fast that there was, it was a done deal when it was pulled off the shelf, which, by the way, it had been sitting on the shelf for quite a while.
Yep.
Before it was even given, consideration in the House or Senate.
Exactly. And, they knew what they were doing, and, you know, they put it out there, and there was that nationalist fever that was on after 9/11, and, you know, the days after, the weeks after 9/11, there was, you know, like a nationalistic fervor, because I was even into it, you know. I was just like, hey, this is wrong, you know, and I didn't have all the facts, and, you know, I was watching the mainstream media and just, you know. But now that you know, it's like, hey, without the media, it's hard. It's really hard. I mean, I talk to a lot of people, and I was talking to a guy the other day, and this guy was in his 40s, and if you looked at him first onset, you would think he was a Republican from New Hampshire, and he was talking about, you know, oh, it's kind of cold up here, you know, blah, blah, blah. Heating bills are going to be, you know, a mother this year, and he was like, man, they're just gouging us, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, my father said one thing. This guy told me, and he said, when a government is treating its people like this, and even without proper media coverage, the people are rising up, that is fostering revolution.
Absolutely.
And talking about Mexico yesterday. And I heard this show yesterday. And, like you said, we're not where the Mexican people are right now. We got more than the Mexican people. But slowly but surely, I don't think this country can stand another 2 years of total Republican dominance in government. Just because all hell's going to break loose. Because
people are tired. Mm-hmm. I agree, and I think that, you know,
I don't want it to go there, and I don't want to see it go there. And that's why we need checks and balances come this November. But if we don't get them, regardless of whatever the media does, the people are gonna do what they have to do.
Well, and you know what? And here's what I say about that. If that's what needs to happen, then that's what needs to happen. So be it. Hey, the folks who started this country a long time ago said some very revolutionary things, and you know what? I think part of the problem, Andrew, is that there aren't enough people saying revolutionary things these days.
Yeah.
You know? I know you are. I know I try to. I know Bob Kincaid does. There's a bunch of great radio hosts that are doing that. But as far as going out to your grocery store, you know, and talking to the woman next to you or the guy next to you in line, are you hearing those kinds of things, you know? And that's just it, you know?
And this came out of the mouth of like a mid-40s, middle-aged white male, you know, wearing a tie, suit and tie. Because he's having a hard time making ends meet, and he knows his friends, and everybody that he hangs around with having a hard time making ends meet. And his father told him, he said, they are fostering, they are laying the groundwork for a revolution. And that's what they're doing. It's going to
come
to that.
It makes me wonder.
I hope it does. I pray to whatever that it doesn't, but... When you hear people like that, and that's not the first time I heard that. So
it makes me wonder what the end game is.
I don't know what the end game is, but people are tired. and from what I see, you can just look at the poll numbers, you know, but polls are polls. But, I mean, when you talk to people and they say, like, this government's corrupt, yada-da-yada-da, people don't know what's true and what's not, you know, because I can tell them something and we'll get in a discussion. And then, you know, you can see in their eyes where this will be like, no, that can't be true. Because the media has the whole discussion so distorted that you don't know. Sometimes you don't know what's true. I mean, if somebody's not on, you know, like doing a lot of research and reading articles and, you know, paying close attention, you can say, no, that can't be true. You know, that people are suspect of everything now. And that's not good.
Yeah.
When you can't rely, and it all goes with the message. It's the message that they put out. That's why they can tell these big lies. Just lie. Tell all our blatant lies, like this 9/11 documentary that they're going to put on TV next week. That's why they can get away with it.
Exactly. Exactly, and you know, and we have to really raise up and try to put a stop to this stuff. Andrew, I've got to take a quick break, but
okay.
I really appreciate you calling in, my friend, and joining us this afternoon.
All right, thank you for having me.
All right, my man, and I'll talk to you soon. That's Andrew from New York joining us on the radio program. If you too want to get in on the show, you got a few more minutes. It's 45 minutes past the hour here. Let's take a break, and I'll be right back. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John F. Kennedy once said, "Democracy is never a final achievement. It is a call to an untiring effort." From September 5th to September 21st, the citizenry of the United States of America are occupying the National Mall with an encampment aptly named Camp Democracy. Camp Democracy aims to bring together peace and justice movements to find strength in numbers and call attention to the abuses currently being perpetrated by the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. You've heard me say on my shows, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Well, now is the time to put your feet on the street and make your ideas known. Join us as we occupy the People's Park from September 5th to the 21st. Join us as we show the world what a true democratic society does when its leaders cease listening to its people. Join us as we raise our voices and call for fundamental change. For more information, including ride sharing, available rooms, and a schedule of events, please visit www.campdemocracy.org. That's www.campdemocracy.org. Thanks, and I'll see you in D.C.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 51 minutes past the hour, 9 ahead of the top of the hour. And let's go right back over to the phones. It looks like we've got the ever-elusive uncle of Beauregard T. Clampett, Belvedere Clampett, on line 2. Belvedere, how are you today?
Mr. Birch, good day to you, sir. How are you today,
good day to you,
sir?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
I'm feeling right poorly. I tell you the truth, I is. And I'm just concerned about Beauregard. You know, he's my nephew. And I don't want him to get infiltrated by none of them liberal ideas. And I'm just worried about that kind of thing, you know?
Well, I understand your concern. I mean, you know, it would be a terrible thing for such a right-wing zealot as Beauregard to actually start making sense, eh?
Well, I tell you that. I got his children right here on my front porch. And my wife, Jolene, she's sitting up here churning butter. Wait a minute. Jolene, take that chair from around that. Take that rag from around that chair and wipe that baby's nose. You think I can't stand his dashes? I'm sorry, Bruce. But anyway, I tell you, speaking of dashes, I've been trying to impress on Beauregard that created that the God of this, and he needs to take his sheets, little uniform, he needs to take that thing down to 1 hour modernizing service. It'll do him real good down there.
Is he having a tough time keeping it clean, Belvedere?
Well, I tell you, the trouble is, there's just stains on that garment that where there should be those stains, and I've been trying to tell that boy he ought to eat better than he does, but I wish I could at least have some positive influence on him, okay?
Well, we'll do our best, Belvedere. I got to tell you, though, he's been promoted to general, right?
Yeah, he's
did you hear
general,
about that?
All right. See, I am the grand high impersonator of the whole outfit, and I kind of give him that rank to keep his mouth shut, but the other thing they get backfired on me. But I just wish y'all could.
You're the grand exalted.
Keep his mouth shut.
You're the grand exalted what now?
Impersonator.
Impersonator.
Uh huh.
Okay.
We impersonate anything, you know.
Well, do me a Sammy Davis. Belvedere, do me a Sammy Davis Jr. impersonation.
Who? Who did I say who that? When I say who that? Great Lord.
Oh, my God.
You should be licked, Mr. Birch. Lord, I can't have the people coming here in the middle of the night. What would the neighbors think? They might not. They're my lawn jockey.
Well, you know, he wasn't just black. He was also Jewish.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You don't know about the cat of wood there. Great Lord have mercy. But listen, I appreciate your time, sir. And you take care of yourself. And a good day to you and your fine family, sir.
I certainly will. And thank you, Belvedere, for joining us today. And then good luck with your grand exalted impersonating, I think.
All right, sir. Listen, thank you again. Good night.
All right. Thank you. That was Belvedere Clampett, the uncle and the grand exalted impersonator of the first Christian Knights of the, the KKK. All right, now, God, that was kind of cool or interesting or weird. It was definitely what it was, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Today's programming, we've had a lot of good stuff on the show today, and, primarily, if you want to talk about a thread throughout the entire show, what I would call would be democracy. And the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that this democracy that we have does not come without sacrifice. We have to make sacrifices. Whether it's marching in the streets, whether it's taking 2 weeks off from work and joining Camp Democracy, whether it's working in a homeless shelter to help feed and house those who are less fortunate than you, whether it's taking in, adopting animals and getting them off the street, whatever it might be, this country and everything that it is good about it is good because of the contributions and sacrifices of its citizens. It's not good because of the corporations that suck money out of the economy and send it to the Bahamas or wherever the hell it is they send it. It's not good because of the Republican Congress that rubber stamps all of the encroachments on the Constitution that the Bush administration has perpetrated upon us. It is definitely not good because of, the reality that we are looking at 40 years of a Republican or a conservative-dominated Supreme Court. And Anthony Kennedy, by the way, had a stent put in his heart over the weekend. He may not be there much longer either, which would make it a solidly conservative Supreme Court. No, I say what is good about America is what you and I contribute to this country via the blood, sweat, and tears that fall from our faces and our hands and our arms and in the work that we do on a daily basis. That is what is good about America. Now, when I say at the end of the program every day, this is, remember, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. When I say that, I mean wholeheartedly that means that you and I need to get off of our collective ass and go and try to make a change in this society. We owe it to our children. We owe it to those who are coming behind us. We owe it to those who have come before us, who are looking at what is happening to this country and seeing shades of Mussolini and that other guy. So I beseech you, if you have the opportunity to try to do something in your own community, create a stir, create some news. Make it, you know, find like-minded people and plan something and do it together. Because, indeed, that is democracy at its core. The show today was produced by Zach Rebich. Very good job, my good man. Very good job. Very good job. Jolly good job. Lorelei took the phone calls there in the studio of the Head On Radio Network. My good friend and compadre, who will be up next with me on Head On with Bob Kincaid, John Fox, is the announcer of this program and the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Gene from Oregon is our chief news ninja and Head On Headlines blogger. He rocks. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services is our tech guy. He's our tech guy extraordinaire and a pretty amazing dude. You can find him in the chat room. He's often in there under the moniker Liberal Me. Also, I wanted to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for archiving this show and for managing the streams of the Head On Radio Network. I'd like to thank Shelby Lepre of RadioPower.org for allowing this show to run on her network over there at RadioPower.org. Thank you, Shelby, very, very much. Also want to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. You know, those guys are building the American dream, and they're helping us to build programming right here to win it back. Thanks to all the mods in the Head On Radio Network chat room. You guys do a fantastic job over there, and thank you, listeners, for joining me this afternoon. Stay tuned. Coming up next is myself again and John Fox covering for Bob Kincaid on the on Head On with Bob Kincaid. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. It's been a trip. This is Bruce Birch for the Bruce Birch Radio Program right here on the Head On Radio Network. And remember, folks, it's your democracy, too. And no, it is not a spectator sport. I'll see you tomorrow.
To build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little
This is the Quality News Network. NATO's top commander has asked the 26 member nations for thousands of additional troops in Afghanistan, but none have made any offers. 18,500 troops are already stationed there, but that's reportedly still 15% less than full strength. Meanwhile, Operation Medusa, the biggest anti-Taliban offensive, is in its final stage. Today, coalition troops pushed further into Kandahar province. Dozens of rebels and eight policemen were killed elsewhere in the country today. The U.S. military has launched an investigation into the unauthorized release of a video to NBC News. It was purportedly taken from a U.S. drone aircraft and shows Taliban militants attending a funeral in Afghanistan. In Iraq, nearly 40 people were killed and more than 70 wounded in bombings and mortar shells targeting Iraqi police. Also, the bodies of 65 men, most of them showing signs of torture, have been found throughout Baghdad since yesterday. Also in Iraq, three more U.S. soldiers were killed in the last 24 hours, two in Anbar province, the other near Baghdad. In Montreal today, a gunman opened fire at a college campus, killing at least four. More than a dozen others were wounded, some of them critically. Police say they shot and killed at least one gunman, but will not confirm whether there was more than one. In Gaza today, the Palestinian cabinet resigned to make way for a new coalition government. It'll be made up of the militant group Hamas and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's moderate Fatah party. However, the European Union says it will not restore full diplomatic and economic ties until Hamas renounces violence, recognizes Israel, and abides by previous peace deals. Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn says the military's non-lethal weapons should be tested on American citizens for crowd control. He says that way the U.S. is less likely to be criticized for using them in war. On Capitol Hill, the Senate-led Senate Judiciary Committee has endorsed legislation that would legalize the domestic spying program. The full Senate will address the issue next week. And in other Senate news, the Armed Services Committee